grateful. In the space of six verses, the psalmist calls us to praise God. Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. That's the word. Praise Yahweh, hallelujah, praise of God. And it's not a singular call, but rather 13 times. 13 times in six verses, the psalmist calls each one of us to offer our praise to God. Psalm 150 is the final crescendo of praise in the Psalms. It's an extended, unbroken invitation to each of us to praise God. I think the leading Old Testament scholar, and especially when it comes to the Psalms, would be Walter Brueggemann. Brueggemann writes this about Psalm 150. This psalm, he says, this psalm is determined, enthusiastic, uninterrupted, relentless, unrelieved summons, which will not be content until all creatures, all of life, are ready and willing to participate in an unending song of praise without reserve or qualification. This psalm, a determined, enthusiastic, uninterrupted, relentless, unrelieved summons. And so as we take a closer look at these verses, I do appreciate the kids who've helped me. Where are we to offer praise? And why do we offer praise? And how do we do it? And who should praise? Well, first, where to praise? Verse 1, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him in His sanctuary, another Hebrew word which refers to God's chosen meeting place. The sanctuary in the Old Testament, that chosen place would have been Bethel or Gilgal. That chosen sanctuary, the tabernacle, or the temple. In the New Testament, and even today, the primary focus on sanctuary is no longer on a place, but on the people. God is to be praised whenever His people, when the gathering, when the spiritual community comes together, we're to come together and offer praise. Now, I believe that we're to praise God in every way, as the kid said, and in every day, wherever we might find ourselves. We can praise God and should in our home, at work, on the ball field, at the lake. Some of you do that one really well. At the lake, we can offer praise. But listen, God's design and God's plan, I think something is lacking and missing when we leave our praise out there. We will never be complete. And I'm not sure if we will really be in the center of God's will if we are not worshiping God as the community, as an assembly, as the family of believers. This hour of worship, this hour is perhaps the most important hour of the entire week. It is for me. The most important hour. Because when I gather with you and I draw together for corporate worship, and as we've done this morning, when we all lift our voices in a community of song, and we pray and we allow Holy Scripture to impact our lives, much less the presence of the Holy Spirit in you that is shared with each one of us. My friends, that's when praise takes place. Worship at First Baptist on Sunday mornings. Now, yes, I worship throughout the week, and I know you do too. But worship on this hour in this place is the high point for me, worship-wise, in my week. And I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to John, to our worship leaders, to our band, to our orchestra, to our choir. They give of themselves to aid us in our worship. And we are better in our worship because of them. And I will forever be indebted to these worship leaders. The psalmist was right. We praise God in his sanctuary, but also praise him in his mighty heavens. Throughout all the firmament, we looked last week at Psalm number 8. No place or time should be excluded from answering the question, where do we praise? Where do we praise? The kids were right. Anywhere and everywhere we can, we ought to praise. So why? Why do we praise? Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. His mighty acts. When I think of the mighty acts, the mighty deeds of God, oh, my mind runs rampant. And I think the Hebrew mind, as they were introduced to this poem or to this song, don't you know that they immediately thought of God's mighty act of creation? That out of nothing, God created everything. A Hebrew mind would have been taught about those, that creation story or those creation stories. We looked again last week of the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. God created it all. Maybe we ought to be better stewards of this mighty creation that God gave to us. When the psalmist mentioned the mighty deeds, the Hebrew listener, without hesitancy, would have remembered God's continual care for them at all times and at all places that God created. But he didn't just create and stand back, but God created and he maintained it, and he still does. Have you looked at your plate of food lately? We throw away so much. But have you looked at all that God has provided? Oh, just what we eat alone. Just what we eat alone. God is so faithful. How can we help but say hallelujah? Praise be to God. And God's mighty deeds, where do we stop? God's saving acts in the lives of the Hebrews. They would have thought of Noah, how God rescued Noah and his family from the flood. Surely the Hebrew would have known and thought immediately of how God led them as a people out of their bondage of Egypt and how he led them across the Red Sea. God was so involved in the lives of his people, and he still is. God knew from the very beginning that we would need a Messiah, that our greatest need would be a Savior who would lead us and guide us and carry us. God knew. He knew we needed Jesus. We are compelled to proclaim, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because of the mighty acts of God's power, but also for his surpassing greatness. In other words, we praise God for what he has done. We praise God for what he is doing right now, but we need to simply praise God for who he is. If God had never done anything, if God had never done one thing for us, he would still be worthy of our praise and our adoration, because he is God. His greatness is surpassed. His mighty deeds amaze us. That's why we praise him. So how do we praise him? How do we offer praise? Did my microphone die? Listen, it's hard enough to stand up here and get my notes in my paper. Do I have to use this? We praise God for technology that works and sometimes it doesn't. How do we praise God? Ooh, I feel like an evangelist now. I feel like I got this microphone. This may be a long sermon. This may be... How do we praise God? Verse 3 through 5. I don't know if this is any better, Zion. All right, verse 3 through 5, how do we praise him? I read it in the message.
So let me read it in NIV. We praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, with the harp, the lyre, the timbrel, the dancing, with strings and pipe, the clash of cymbals. We praise him with resounding cymbals.
But I love the message. With the trumpet, the soft strings, the castanets and dance, the banjo and flute, the cymbals, the big bass drum, the fiddles, and the mandolin. We praise God, the kids said, with everything. We praise God with the pipe organ. Tate, wake up. Tate, you make that organ amazing. You really do. You know, our organ, it's been here over 50 years, this pipe organ, and it's in bad shape. I hate to take. Tate makes it sound like it's perfect. If you only knew what he's having to do to make that organ. That organ is a $1 million instrument that is sitting there. And we should say, sell it. No, we need to fix it. So if you have $100,000, we could make that organ really do what it's supposed to do. Thank you, Tate, for keeping it going a little week by week. Chuck Croson said he'd probably match whatever you would give to fix that organ. So I'm feeling confident that can happen. And the piano, and the guitar, and the keyboard, and the drums, and the trumpet, and the flute, and the tuba. He didn't say that. You know, I played tuba in seventh grade. I started playing tuba. This is a true story. At Bulldog Stadium, seventh grade, we played at every football game. I couldn't carry it. And so they would carry it to the top bleacher, and I would get inside of the sousaphone and pray that the wind didn't blow. When I became a freshman in high school, the band director said, you've got to carry your own tuba. I was scared to death every game that something would happen. So I went to Baylor, and I still played the tuba. I don't know why, but I did. In the first game, George, you were there and others. Baylor was playing. We just won the Southwest Conference the year before. We were playing Lamar, and they beat us. But that first game, I was freshman on that big tuba. There were 12 of us. I was on the 50-yard line, and we spelled out B-E-A-R-S, and we reared back on one knee, and I fell. That's a true story. I just rolled inside of that tuba trying to get on my feet. It was terrible. The band director said, you might consider choir. That's the last time I played the tuba. That was it. But all that to say, we praise God for it all. We praise God with everything we have. I hope you don't miss that. Praise is not something where we come and sit and let the choir sing and then we say, yes. That's not praise. Praise is not where we say, oh, the praise band, they're so great. Good. That's not praise. Let the organist or let the pianist, let them do the praise and we just say, yay. No, praise is for each one of us. Each one of us. Now what? This is the last Sunday of this series. We're ending this. Praising God is not us and them. It's not us and them. Praising God, it's all of us. Yes, we have praise leaders. We have prompters. The choir prompts us. We have folks who lead us, but praise is every one of us as worshipers. You know, churches are still dividing and splitting and splintering. Isn't that amazing that churches today, I thought we were beyond that. In the 70s and 80s, churches started fighting about how to worship and styles of worship. Churches today are still fighting and bickering over what type of worship. Let me tell you, God created all music, and God loves it. God loves contemporary worship, and he loves traditional worship. God loves classical, high church, low church, gospel, and rap. God loves rap. Why not? Most of all, God loves our worship because that's what we're going to do in heaven. It's going to be blended. It's going to be blended, and we're going to have some great hymns, and we're going to have a contemporary that makes sense, and it's going to be good, and the organ's going to lead it, and it's going to be a lot of tubas. That's what heaven's going to be. And so the final question the kids helped with is who should worship? Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Everything. I'm afraid I've interpreted that verse way too narrow through the years. I've said, let everyone, every human being, every person that has breath, praise the Lord. But the psalmist went beyond that. Let everything. Look back in Psalm 148, just two psalms before. The psalmist said, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the heavenly host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Down in verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. Praise him, you mountains and hills, fruit trees and even cedars, wild animals and all the cattle, small creatures, flying birds, kings of the earth, rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them all praise the name of the Lord. Everything and everyone ought to praise the Lord. And so we've spent 9 weeks looking at the Psalms. 9 weeks in the Psalter. We could go nine more. So how's it changed us? I hope it has some. Maybe on this day as we conclude looking at the Psalms, that we renew, each one of us, right where we are, renew our commitment to praise and worship. Maybe we pray, God, restore in my heart not an attitude of judgment or an attitude of wondering, or give me a joy, an attitude of praise. Maybe our commitment is, God, give me a spirit of thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving that would permeate my soul. God, thank you for the Psalms that reminds me that I can come honestly to you. That nothing's too big for you. I can, like the psalmist, say, why, God? Why, God? And I can give my hurt, my complaint, my lament, and I cover it all with praise and thanks to you. It's good to renew our praise commitment. Maybe our renewal is, God, may worship be central in my life. May I commit. Yes, there are times I'll be at the lake and I'll worship. And there are days I'll be at the ballpark. But God, I want to commit as often as possible to be in the sanctuary where your people gather for corporate worship. And as we leave, may we say, God, our source of praise is always Jesus Christ. Our source of praise is always found in our Savior, Christ alone. Don't let these 9 weeks pass you by without making new commitments. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Shall we pray? God, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit-inspired divine word that says, y'all need to praise. All of you need to praise. You praise God because he's God. You praise God because of the mighty deeds he's done. Regardless of who you are or what you are, you praise, and you praise him all the time. God, you are so worthy of our praise and our adoration. We come before you and we renew and we commit to worship, to corporate worship. We need each other. And we need this hour set aside from our chaotic world to look to you. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. Joyful, joyful, we praise. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know.